Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to our weekend online worship service. We are so glad that you have chosen to join us today. My name is Marvin, and it's my pleasure to welcome you into this virtual gathering. If you have a prayer request, or if you'd like to connect with one of our pastors, we would love to connect with you. You can contact us on our app or by emailing the email address on your screen. We wanted to take a moment to say thank you for your giving and to those of you who have continued and your ongoing generosity. We are so blessed to have a family that believes in serving and giving together. You can give now or at any point by visiting our app, Christian Assembly LA app, or by clicking on our website and clicking on the Give tab. If you have any questions about giving online, you can always email us at info@cachurch.com. And for those of you that prefer to mail in a check, you can do so. Simply make out your checks to Christian Assembly Church and mail it to the address on your screen. That address is always on our website as well. We know that for many of you, you will make decisions to follow Jesus during this service. We would love to know about those decisions. We would love to encourage you and celebrate you with you in that decision. If you make a decision to follow Jesus during this service, would you email the email address on your screen or simply text the word decision to the 52855. One of our pastors, Tom Hughes, will personally follow up with you. He'd love to pray with you, encourage you, and guide you in some next steps in your faith. We just want to say thank you for joining us today and each and every weekend. And now we invite you to get up and join us as we participate in worshiping together. But first, let's pray. So Lord, we thank you for this online gathering. We thank you that we are able to worship you from our homes, from wherever we might be gathered, Lord. Lord, we ask that your joy would be our strength. So Lord, now would you strengthen us as we worship and fill us with your joy. And Lord, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So let's get ready, everyone, and let's worship our Lord together.
Welcome, everybody. Glad you joined us. Let's worship our God together. Here we go.
Praise is rising. We long for you. Lord, I surrender all to your strong and faithful hand, and everything I will give thanks to you, Lord. And I'll just trust your perfect plan when I don't know what to do. Say, I'll lift my hands when I don't know what to say. I'll speak your praise when I don't know where to go, Lord. I'll run to your throne when I don't know what to think. I'll stand on your truth when I don't know.
Sing the second verse together.
And Lord, I surrender everything, everything, though I'll never understand all the mysteries around me. Lord, help me, Lord. I'll just trust your perfect plan.
That have struggled in this season. Maybe we lost our income and we have no idea what's in front of us. And I think what I want to say right now is I want to join together and say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I do cry out for your perfect peace. A peace that doesn't make sense in this time, in this season, in this circumstance. And yet, Lord, would your heavenly peace reach out right now and touch homes, touch families, touch relationships, touch financial situations. Even now, Lord, I pray. We bow to you, Lord. Help us to follow you even now. Let's sing as I bow my knee. This is our prayer. Let's sing. As I bow my knee, send your perfect peace. Send your perfect peace, Lord. Say, as I lift my hands, let your healing come. Let your healing come. One more time. Say, as I bow my knee, send your perfect peace. Send your perfect peace, Lord. As I lift my hands, let your healing come. Let your healing come to me. Let's go up.
I don't know what to do. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. I'm waiting for change to come today, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Sing your promise. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Lord, keep me with. My heart will sing your praise again and again. Oh, your promise, Lord. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence.
Faithfulness. I'm still in.
your hands. This is my confidence. You'll never fail me. Yeah. That's all gone. That's all gone. Amen.
Hey, everybody. Tom Hughes here from Christian Assembly Church. I'm here with Coley Kruger, and I have an exciting announcement to make with you. Many of you will know Coley. She's been part of our staff for almost 2 years now. And the announcement is that we have unanimously invited Coley to take a new position where she's going to become the lead pastor to women, as well as one of our community life pastors. She's been in this role in an interim capacity for the last several months and just been doing a great job. So we are really excited. For those of you who maybe don't know Coley as well, maybe you're just jumping online and getting new to our church community. Coley did her undergraduate at Marquette University, and she actually did her seminary training at Azusa Pacific University, where she got her master's degree. And so we are privileged and honored to have Coley step into this new role. So Coley, just excited. I don't know if welcome's the right word because you've already been on the staff, but welcome to this new role, and we are honored and privileged to have you serve us in this way. Would you just say a few words to the church?
Awesome, Tom. Thank you so much. It is such an honor and a blessing to be given this opportunity. I'm extremely humbled. I was not expecting this, and the Lord always has bigger plans than we can hope or imagine. So I just feel humbled and excited to step into this new role, and I just feel so lucky that I get to work with some of the best women in the world. The CA women's community is amazing. You guys have been so supportive. So thank you. I just want you all to know that I love you, and I'm overwhelmed that I get to work with you. It's a privilege. So thanks so much for the opportunity. I'm excited to see what God's going to do.
The scriptures say that one of the gifts that God gives to the church is pastors, and Coley has already been a gift, and she'll even be more of a gift in this new role. Now, of course, Coley, you know that you're not in this alone. We're all here with you. There's other staff members and, of course, volunteer leaders, and the list goes on, so I never want you to feel alone. But even more importantly, God has put his spirit on you and in you for this role. And so what I'd like to invite you to do is just pray with me. I'm going to extend my hand towards Coley just as a way of prayer and blessing as she starts into this new season. And so, Lord, we pray now and thank you for Coley Kruger. Thank you for her life. Thank you for how you have shaped her and formed her to be a woman of leadership, of your word, and of your spirit. Thank you for her character. Thank you for the joy and delight that she brings wherever she goes. I pray, God, that you would use her now, equip her with every spiritual gift, equip her with every word of encouragement, with every relational connection, with every creative idea she needs. Surround her with the prayers that she needs, Lord, so that she and we together might continue in even greater ways than ever before, by your grace, to lead spiritually convinced and unconvinced people to complete commitment to Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the good gift of Coley Kruger, for her saying yes to this expanded position, and for all that you're going to do in her and through her, among us and through us, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Coley. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, everybody. It's a great new season. Hey, welcome, everybody. What a joy to get to be with you. I want to welcome those of you that are visitors or guests. And, of course, to my CA family, great to be with you as well. I am grateful for you. I've been praying for our time together this weekend. For those of you who call CA your church family, I want to jump in and give us a little bit of a family business update. Now, if you're a visitor or guest, just hang with me. Just take a moment. Some of you have been asking me, how are we doing financially in the midst of all this COVID-19 season? Now, normally, when we gather in person, we print a monthly update on the back of the bulletin. But, of course, that's harder to access online. So let me just give you the figures, and I'll walk us through this. At the end of March, we had a gap of about $250,000 from our year-to-date requirement compared to our year-to-date actual offerings. But here's where things stand now at the end of April. Our year-to-date giving requirement is about $2.65 million through the end of April. Our year-to-date actual offering was $2.46 million. million. So that's about a gap of $190,000. And so what that means is just in the month of April alone, you've helped shrink that gap by $60,000. So I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We're trending in the right direction. As many of you will know, we have literally retooled many job descriptions and launched entirely new ministries like our prayer and pantry ministry that we've been running, where we fed over 1,000 people that are neighbors of ours, some people just part of our church through that ministry. And some people are saying that the prayer is important to them as the food. So I want to thank you for that. We've also set aside $250,000 from our general offering to help people within our church family that need access to groceries beyond the prayer and pantry. And so we've given out tens of thousands of dollars of grocery gift cards and want to thank you for your generosity to empower that. In April, our kingdom offering was almost $49,000. And of course, all of that money goes beyond the walls of our church and our church community to what we call our kingdom partners. The good news of Jesus is going out not only in the city, but around the world as well in word and deed. In fact, in the Philippines, I got pictures from one of our partners there that show that they were literally feeding hundreds of families because of your generosity. And then even this week, there was some flooding in Africa and Kenya near Julie Boyd and the Tarus family as well. And we were able to help feed hundreds of families there as well. So I just want to thank you for your general offering as well as your kingdom offering together. So to my CA family, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your generosity. God is using it in great and amazing ways. For those of you that maybe don't have an income right now, you lost your job, as you know, everything we do is free and made available to everybody. And so we love you and we're continuing to pray for you, encourage you to access those groceries if they would help you. For those of us that have jobs that are continuing to employ us and pay, just thank you for your ongoing generosity. Well, let's jump into our teaching as we continue on in our series entitled Hope Found Here, The Unshakable Promises of God. In 2012, Timothy Henry Gray was a homeless cowboy, and unfortunately, he ended up dying under an overpass in Wyoming of hypothermia. Apparently, there was some bad luck and bad breaks, but no foul play. But what was interesting about his particular case is that he stood to inherit $19 million. See, Gray's great-grandfather was a wealthy copper miner and a railroad builder, and he was the founder of a small town in Nevada that you've probably heard of called Las Vegas. And so his $300 million fortune was passed to his daughter, who then died at the spry old age of 104 years old. But at the time of Gray's death, the execution of the will was tied up in courts. But here's the thing. Even with all of that, even while he was waiting for the whole inheritance, the full inheritance to be delivered to him, the news reports said that Gray was not using the money that he already had access to from his inheritance. He had kind of a form of a down payment. In fact, whenever he passed away, they, in his wallet, found an uncashed cashier's check, and the news reports just simply said it was in a very significant amount. How does an heir to a fortune live and die as a pauper? How does that happen? And more to the point, is it possible that at times that maybe you and I might be doing the exact same thing? Well, we're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. So God, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your generosity, your mercy, and your word. As we come to your word, would you build faith in us? Would you renew our strength and our spirits? Jesus, you say that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So would you put life into us from your word now in Jesus' name, amen. Well, when you look at the promises of God, some promises of God are unconditional, and other promises of God are conditional, two different categories. When you look at any promise of God, it's essential that you figure out, is this a promise that God is making unconditionally, or is this a promise that God is making conditionally? And the reason you got to figure that out is because otherwise you might end up being angry at God for not delivering on a promise if you assume it's unconditional, when in fact it comes with some conditions that need to be met in order to unlock the promise. Every conditional promise of God has this premise: if you do this, then I will be doing that. You can't expect the fulfillment of the promise if you don't obey the premise. God's word contains this promise we're going to look at. Here it is from Romans 8:17. We are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Now, this is a conditional promise. What's the condition to this promise? Well, the condition is to be led by the Spirit of God, which one of the signs of being led by the Spirit of God is to come to a place where you place your faith and your hope in Jesus, and you follow his ways and teachings and become part of God's family through faith in Christ. I love how the Message paraphrase of the Bible says it in verse 15 to 17 of Romans 8. It says, this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's an adventurously expectant greeting God with a childlike faith that says, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are. Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. And if we go through the hard times with him, then certainly we will go through the good times with him. Now, I know that not all who are listening are people that maybe you've not made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe you're investigating faith, and that's why you've joined us online. And I am so, so grateful that you've joined us. In fact, I've been praying for you. By the end of our time, I'm going to tell you explicitly how you can become part of the family of God according to God's word. For those of you who have already made that decision and you're a follower of Jesus, you've given your life to Christ, you now, according to God's word, have legal right to the family fortune of heaven and the family business on earth. The courts have been satisfied. Your spiritual account has been funded with your inheritance. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says it this way: praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That word blessing, what it actually means is to confer effective or abundant life on someone. You're not waiting around for someone to die so that their will can be read to you. Someone already has died so that God's will can be revealed to you. And that someone is Jesus Christ. Well, recently, many of you will know that my mom passed away at the end of March. In fact, my dad preceded her by about 7 years earlier. So the executrix of the will, their last will and testament, has been in touch with me. And I am in the process of receiving an inheritance from my mom and dad. Their desire is that they would give to me some of the resources that is rightly only theirs to use or to will or dispose of as they would see fit. That is their will. And so I actually have been given a copy of their will. It's a document I have, and I can read it right there in the document. You know, people will sometimes ask me as a pastor, they'll say, Tom, I want to know, what is God's will for my life? Well, you can open up God's document, the Bible, and you can read his will for you. In fact, in John 3:16, it says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, the world, but to save the world through him. So what that means is, if you want to know what God's will is for you, he desires for you to come to know Jesus Christ, to be one of the whosoever will believe in him, choose to believe in him. And if that's you, then that means that God's will for you right now is that you live as one of his heirs and a co-heir with Christ. So how do you live right now, today, in this season, as an heir, as someone who's going to be receiving and has received the down payment on an inheritance? Three things. The first thing is this. You begin to let your inheritance change your current reality. Again, as we read in Ephesians 1:3, it says, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Notice there, blessed is past tense. It's already available. That word means to be favored or to confer abundant or effective life. That's already been deposited into your spiritual account. Growing to reflect the character of God in your life is the process that the Bible calls discipleship. It's where you learn how to, in a sense, cash the check that's already in your wallet because of Christ's work and because of your faith in him. God doesn't want you to live like a spiritual pauper with an uncashed inheritance check in your wallet. In fact, Timothy Gray, he had an inheritance coming and even had a down payment on it now in his wallet, but he didn't let his inheritance change his view of reality. That word there, or phrase, spiritual blessing from Ephesians 1, it's the inheritance that you have that consists of all of God's saving activity in Christ that he's making available to you. And when it says a spiritual blessing, it's not talking about just some kind of generic kind of spirituality. It's actually talking about spiritual meaning that all of this is bound up in the work of the person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's why several verses later in verse 13, we read this, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit. So we have the deposit now, guaranteeing what? Our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Just as an aside, if maybe you want to learn more about the Holy Spirit in depth, I want to encourage you either on our app or our website, search in our message series, and there's a titled series called The Holy Spirit, Who He Is, What He Does, and Why That Matters for Your Life, and that'll dig in even further to who the Holy Spirit is to help you. Well, it's been in about six, seven, 8 weeks now since my mom has passed away, and it's now long enough for their will to begin to be put into effect. All of the debts of the estate are being paid, but it's clear that the resources of their somewhat modest estate are in greater abundance than the debt that they owed. So now the portion of my parents' resources that are being willed to me, they're slowly in the process of being turned over to me. My inheritance is coming my way. Now, again, it's a middle-class inheritance. I'm nothing like Timothy Gray, but I am being empowered to think about and plan for life in new ways because I'm no longer just living off my own resources. I'm now empowered by the will of my parents. It's the same with those of us in Christ who join the family of God. The family debts have been paid by the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the debt payment is only half of the story. We're not just freed from the debt of sin, as amazing as that is. We are also given abundant resources to live a new kind of life. Divine resources have been deposited in your spiritual bank account. And what specifically are some of the spiritual blessings that God's Spirit wants to make available to you in your life? Well, Galatians 5, verse 22 tells us, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Some people I meet, they think like this. They'll say, well, Tom, you don't know my family. They'll say, you know, my grandpa was angry, my dad was angry, I'm angry, and my kids are angry. We just kind of, that's who we are. Our family just kind of has the angry gene. We're just kind of the angry family. And I want to encourage you that that might be who you are now, But you don't have to be stuck like that according to God's word. You might have the angry gene, but now you can get to know the gentle God. You might have gotten the frustrated gene, but now you can know the patient God. You might have gotten the worry gene, but you are named as one of God's beneficiaries. If you need more peace, ask Him for it. He's given you His Holy Spirit if you're in Christ, and the Holy Spirit wants to produce the fruit of peace in your life. If you need more faith, ask for it. Maybe now that we're about 2 months into this safer at home, you're feeling the friction with those that you live with. You just feel cooped up and frustrated. Maybe you need more love for someone that you live with. Ask Him for it. To live like God's heir means that you stop making excuses and you start making progress. You stop saying, well, I can't be loving, I can't be joyful, I can't be peaceful because of whatever is going on in your life. Instead, you start saying like this, Father, help me to be so led by your Spirit that He can produce all of the good fruit that He wants me to inherit in my life. Let my inheritance change my view of my current reality. The second way we live like an heir is this. Your inheritance shows you that God has a solution before you even encounter a problem. According to Dallas Willard, the author and great philosopher, he said this, to love someone means to will and to plan good for them. God's pre-planning of good for you and for me shows His love for us. Often when we encounter a problem, we cry out to God and we say, God, do you see this? Do you see the unemployment numbers? Do you see the headlines? Do you see the social distancing? Do you see all the health challenges? And I believe God says, yes, I see them. And not only do I see them now, I saw them in advance of them ever happening. I saw your needs before you were ever even born. In fact, here's how God's word says it in Ephesians 1:4. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. So again, we see that if you want to come into the family of God, you can only do that through Jesus Christ. And I love this line. This is what He wanted to do. It gave Him great pleasure. I love that image of God. It gave Him great pleasure to plan in advance for your good. God got delight out of it, to adopt us in Christ. God is saying to the angels, watch this. This is going to be amazing when they realize how much I love them, by how far in advance I've planned for them. Verse 6 goes on and says, so we praise God for the glorious grace He's poured out on us who belong in His dear Son. He is so rich in His kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son, and He forgave our sins. He showered us with His kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. See, we're getting a picture here of God's kindness, of His character, of His generosity and wisdom, all the things that are part of our inheritance. It goes on in verse 9 and says, God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill His own good pleasure. God wanted to do this. It's not like we had to bang down the doors of heaven. He planned this in advance of us ever having a need. And this is the plan in verse 10. It says that at the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received, and here's that word again, an inheritance from God. For He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. Well, one of the provisions of my parents' will has to do with their 9 grandchildren. And they set aside a certain amount of resource for each of their grandchildren to receive when they reach the age of 25. So I have 3 kids, anywhere from 9 to 15. This kind of, for them to hit 25 years is anywhere from 9 to 15 years in advance of where they are now. And I don't know what needs they're going to have 9 years from now or 15 years from now when they hit the age of 25, but I do believe that on that day, they are going to be grateful that their grandparents loved them enough to plan in advance for that day, to create a solution for a problem that they didn't even realize they were going to have when they hit 25, maybe money for a car or down payment on a house or whatever it might be. And if they're thinking rightly in that moment when they realize what their grandparents have done, they would say, wow, they must have loved me a lot. In order for them to think about me and look into the future and anticipate my needs and have a solution for me before the problem has even come. That's what God does for his children. Only it's not a mere 9 or 15 years in advance down the line and with a limited amount of supply. He does it with unlimited supply, even much further in advance. God did this before the foundation of the world. To live as an heir means that you begin to trust that God is so good that he has done some amazing advanced planning, all of because he was thinking about you and planning for you, and he loves you that much. The third thing that we see from God's word about living like an heir is this, is that you begin to use the family fortune from heaven for the family purposes on earth. You know, God commands what God commands because God promises what God promises. God's promises and commands are always connected. In fact, if you only know God's commands without God's promises, you're in the danger of maybe becoming embittered by him, of trying to live up to something that you're not able to live up to apart from his promise, his word, and his spirit. But because God's promises are powerful, God's commands are reasonable. Think of it this way. As word has come to me about my inheritance from my parents, they've placed no restrictions on it or how it can be used in my case. I'm over the age of 25. And I am completely free to use it as I see fit. Now, why would they give me their resources with such freedom? Why would they do that? Well, I think part of it is that they're trusting me to make wise and honoring decisions. So one of the questions I've been asking myself is this: how can I best honor who I know my parents to be, their character, their values, what brings them delight, by how I use what has been entrusted to me? Now, because I've spent so much time with my parents over the years and because I know them and they've taught me, I think I know what their answers would be. I think I can hear their voices kind of ringing in my ears. I know that both of them would tell me, we want you to be generous back to God. Trust God and his generosity, Tom. Give a portion of it back to God. I believe that they would say that. I know that they would say to me, we want you to be generous to the poor, Tom. We don't want you to just hoard everything for yourself. Be generous and kind to the poor. I know they would say that. My dad would say, do something fun with your family. Take them on a vacation that they're always going to remember. Create some type of joyful memory with them. I know that he would say that because that's what he always did for me and my family when I was a kid growing up. I know that my mom would say, I think you should set some of it aside to prepare for your kids' future. In fact, I know that because they set aside a little bit for their grandkids, my children, as well. They didn't write that list down for me, but I know that's their list from the character and values of who they are that was constantly modeled for me. You know, it's the same with God. When we are an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ, we are free to use our inheritance as we see fit. But to do that within ways that honor the Father's purposes on earth. In fact, the book of Galatians lays out how and why we become heirs of Christ and have an inheritance. But near the end of the book, it tells us kind of where it's all headed, and that part of our inheritance is freedom. It says in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Freedom is a great thing. But what exactly are we free to do? Well, in chapter 5, verse 13 of Galatians, it says this, you, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. Just like my earthly parents made me an heir with the freedom to use the inheritance as I see fit, but expecting that I would use it in ways that honored their character, heart, and intention. So my Heavenly Father has done the same. In other words, use the family's fortune from heaven for the family's purposes on earth. For however many days the Lord would give me on this earth, I get an unbelievable opportunity. And so do you if you are part of the family of God, of using all that I am, of all that has been given to me, deposited in me, to bring honor and glory to my Heavenly Father on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is going to take prayer and wisdom, and it's going to take action. But it's not the type of action where you have to just kind of grit your teeth and try harder. No, it's a joyful, purposeful living, living out of your inheritance of the abundant life that God desires for you to have, that I am an heir of God and co-heir with Christ. And you are too, if you are in the family of God. That's a lot of freedom. And with that freedom comes a lot of responsibility, but it's also a sign of a lot of love. You know something? The world offers a lot of promises, but in the end, the promises the world offer end up being full of emptiness. But God offers, takes emptiness and makes it full of promise. He takes an empty cross, he takes the empty tomb, he takes empty grave clothes of Jesus and turns them all to be full of promise. And one of the promises is that because of him and by our faith placed in him, we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Let's pray. As we pray, even now, I just want to address three different groups. The first is those of you who are listening, and maybe you've never become part of the family of God. And even now, the Spirit of God is leading you to say yes. How do you become part of the family of God? You do that, as we just read, by hearing the message of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, there is no way and there is no one who can save you or save me. But God, in his infinite mercy, planned for this moment for you to be listening to my voice wherever you are right now. He planned for this moment before the foundation of the world to give you an opportunity to say yes by faith and be adopted into his family, to make you an heir and give you an inheritance, including the Holy Spirit, as the deposit on that inheritance. And if that's you and you want to say yes and enter into the family of God, you say just something like this: God, I'm saying yes to you. I believe in Jesus. Save me right now, right where I am, and adopt me into your family. Teach me how to live by your word and your ways all the days of my life. Give me your Holy Spirit. Make me an heir of yours, God, and a co-heir with Christ. And let me be one who lives from that inheritance. Hey, listen, if you've made that decision, I want to be the first to welcome you into the family of God. In fact, I want to encourage you to just text the word decision, and you'll see the number that pops up there. And those texts will actually come to me. And I personally, if you text, I will personally follow up on each one of you to pray with you, encourage you, and tell you next steps that you can take to grow further in your relationship with God. I'm so proud of you who have made that decision, and I want to ask you to go ahead and text us so that I can follow up with you. Let's keep praying. Some of you, you're part of the family, but you're living with an uncashed spiritual check in your wallet. So even now, you need to pray, God, you've made me a new person, and your inheritance is available to me through the Holy Spirit, but I'm not living like it. Would you teach me how to live out of the abundant resource of my inheritance that you have willed to me? All the fruit of the Spirit, make it available to me in my life. Right now, let me just give you an opportunity. Ask God for what you need right now. What do you need? Is it more patience? Is it more faith? Is it more courage? What do you need? Do you need provision? Ask God for it. Do you need steadfastness in your heart? Ask Him for it. Do you need comfort? Ask Him for it. All of that is available to you because of what Christ has done. And that third group, many of you I know are already living this out. And I just want to say, way to go. I hear stories of your forgiveness, of your generosity, of your courage, of your faith, of your hope, and your love. And it not only makes me proud as a pastor, but it inspires me as a brother in Christ to want to follow and be more like that as well. I hear how you're using your freedom to serve others humbly in love. I see you leaning in and taking steps to grow, to reflect God's heart and will and inheritance in your character. And for you, I just want you to hear, well done, and keep it up. Keep being led by God's Spirit and by God's Word to live out of all of the resources of the inheritance that He's made available to you and me. In Jesus' name, amen.
My
thank you again for joining us for our online services. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, would you email or text us so that we might follow up with you? We also wanted to remind you of two ways that you can connect with us throughout the week. One is our daily touch points available daily, and secondly, our digital discipleship available on Wednesday nights. Both of those are available on all of our social media platforms. But now, let me leave you with this benediction. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. God be with you. May you enjoy the rest of your week.